Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back here on Sports Talk, Steve Geller along with Charlie Long. Welcoming in Jake Madison, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. You can find that on the Odyssey app, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks so much for the time, Jake. How you been?
I'm doing well and happy to be on talking some hoops here.
Yes, indeed. The Pelicans going for a fifth straight victory over these Sacramento Kings. Should I be worried about that, or is it just a case where they just happen to have the number of this lineup?
You know, they've definitely had the Kings' number, and the Kings match up poorly with the size and the athleticism of the New Orleans Pelicans. But that said, look, it's tough to beat a team five times in the regular season, right? They're playing an extra game due to the in-season tournament. That's not an easy thing, and you know Sacramento doesn't want to go 0-5 against this Pelicans team. So they're going to come out with a lot of energy and a lot of fight in them. And oftentimes when New Orleans has kind of been punched in the mouth in the first quarter, they've shied away from these type of games. So hopefully they come in with the right mentality, because they can win this and they can really solidify their grasp on that sixth seed and avoid the play-in tournament. So you could argue in a sense that this is one of the biggest games, if not the biggest game of the regular season, given the stakes right now. You're two games up on the Sacramento Kings. If you beat them, they're probably no worse than the seventh seed. The Pelicans are. So you really want to go out and get this win, because it's really going to help you in the long run.
Absolutely. And you're looking at this matchup, Jake. Sacramento actually opens as 1.5-point favorites, despite the Pelicans being 4-0 against them this year. One thing that stood out to me for the Pelicans against Sacramento, we've talked about the Kings defensively. They kind of struggle. Their offense is kind of what they lean upon. The Pelicans averaged 126 points, basically 126.5 points against Sacramento this season. They've been outstanding offensively against this Kings squad. I mean, who's your X factor tonight? You kind of talked about getting off to a really good start. Trey Murphy had a great game the other night in Portland. And I think that, you know, with the Pelicans shooting better on the road than they do at home, maybe he could be a spark plug to help the Pelicans jump out to an early lead that they don't look back from.
Yeah, you're going to need all those guys to shoot well, right? We've seen how important it is to space the court well for Zion Williamson. There's been some games when he's been a little bit frustrated due to the lack of spacing. And when that happens, the Pelicans' offense kind of falls apart a little bit, and you can't have that happen in this game. You really need to get this win. So you need these guys to come out, whether it's Trey, whether it's CJ McCollum, or even Herb Jones. You need them to come out and hit their shots, because that's going to kind of open up that defense a little bit, and that'll let Zion Williamson kind of take this one home. They're going to need to feed him the ball. They're going to need to get him going early, but you're only going to be able to do that if there's some space there, because teams are really trying to wall him off from the rim right now with how well that he's been playing. So Trey and all those guys, just anyone hitting threes, taking threes and making threes is kind of the key to this one, I think.
Jake, looking at the lineup for this Pel squad, got some good news over on social media. Chris Haynes, I guess he was actually doing his broadcast for TNT, what he said. Brandon Ingram expected to make his return Sunday for the Pels against the Lakers. Charlie and I were selfishly hoping he could make it for game two of this back-to-back tomorrow at Golden State. But shoot, we will take at home against the Lakers anytime.
Jake, just getting him some minutes before the postseason, right, whether that be the play-in tournament or the playoffs, I think that's really big.
So it is. You know, it would have been great to get him two games of action, but look, if it's one game, and that's kind of what the signs were pointing to in recent days, you'll take that, because Brandon Ingram is a guy, one, they're missing him, right? This team has not been better without him whatsoever. But the other thing is, it usually takes him when he's had some injuries to a game or two to really shake off that rust. So you don't want his first game back being in a win-or-go-home game in the play-in tournament, or even a playoff series where if you lose game one, that kind of puts you in a bit of a hole. You'd like him to shake off some of that rust so that he's going to be the best version of himself in those more important games. And we'll see what the stakes are going to be for this Lakers game on Sunday. Could mean a lot. Maybe it doesn't. So it's just kind of up in the air. But getting him back is going to be important. They've been missing his playmaking, I think, more than anything else. We've seen at times the Pelicans' offense get a little bit stagnant. And so having another guy out there that's a focal point of the defense that can pass the ball and keep the ball moving is going to be a really great thing. And if teams are going to put 3-4 guys down below the basket to wall off Zion Williamson, that's going to give Brandon Ingram plenty of room to get to his spot, that mid-range, even for three, and take those shots and beat some opponents. So when he gets back in the lineup, that's a big thing for the Pelicans.
And then looking at Sacramento, right before we look kind of a little bit ahead to their next couple games, and I'll get your preview about it if the Pelicans do in fact seal this sixth seed, Jake, over these final three games. Against Sacramento, defensively, you're looking at DeMontis Sabonis and obviously De'Aaron Fox. They're going to be missing Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter for this matchup, two kind of key offensive pieces off the bench for them. And if you're looking at the Kings, we already talked about their porous defense and how the Pelicans can really attack them both inside with Zion and also on the perimeter with their three-point shooting. I mean, defensively, how do you attack this Kings squad?
You know, you want to press the point of attack, I think, first and foremost. And that's going to be with De'Aaron Fox, and that's going to be having Herb Jones there. You know, Sabonis has been fantastic for them this season. This is a guy that can easily, as a big man, put up a triple-double with points, rebounds, and assists. But he also does need guys to get him the ball when he wants to post up. And if you disrupt that, you can force them into a lot of turnovers, and that's where this Pelicans team really thrives. They love forcing turnovers and getting out in transition and running. I think against Portland, they had 33 points off of takeaways in that game. They had 17 points to their four in transition. Those are some of the easiest points that you can get. So if you can press the point of attack, force De'Aaron Fox into a couple of turnovers and an off shooting night where he's just missing, you can get out and run and just score some really easy points. And once you do that, your defense gets back and gets set, because teams can't run in transition against you when you're scoring. And you just kind of start the cycle all over again. And it turns defense into really easy and good offense, which then makes your defense even better. And so I think by kind of disrupting that, that's going to be important. You know, there's no Larry Nance Jr. in this game. So obviously I think you're going to see a lot of Jonas Valanciunas, and this is a good matchup for him, where he's a big physical body and can kind of go toe-to-toe with DeMontis Sabonis. But I'll also be curious to see if they go with like a small ball lineup designed at the five and just try and kind of blitz this Sacramento Kings team. But look, you know, I'm talking a little bit about the offense here, but I think that's important because that lets your defense get back, get set, and then try and force more of those turnovers.
I see that Najee Marshall has been upgraded to questionable for this evening. Still waiting to hear more about him. But how big would that be to at least get him back in the lineup to be on the bench?
You know, look, the way he just brings energy to this team is really important. Look how they look very different when you have Jose Alvarado back out there with this squad, back out there on the court.
Yeah.
And just kind of brings some of that like nasty attitude, that toughness that you need, doesn't back down from anyone. And, you know, sometimes you've seen this team is a little bit scared to shoot. People are kind of uncertain about some of their offense. Najee doesn't have that. He's really fearless. He's willing to shoot if no one else is. And sometimes you need a guy that's just willing to do that sort of thing. So getting him back, that energy he brings, this Kings team has been embarrassed by New Orleans four times this season. Right, they're going to come out physical, they're going to come out playing tough. Having to be able to match, that's important, and Najee Marshall is key to it.
I agree 100%, Jake. Now looking forward past the Kings, we're looking tomorrow night against a Golden State squad that has gotten hot, and it's a bad time to be playing them. The two games against Golden State this year have been so funny because they blew the Pelicans out in New Orleans, and then New Orleans goes out into Golden State and just kills them. So both games have been by at least 30 points, if I'm remembering correctly. So with this matchup, though, you're looking at Golden State, 8-2 in their last 10. They're 1-1 against another one of the hottest teams in the Western Conference, the Dallas Mavericks. They are one of the two teams to actually take down Dallas. in that stretch that they've gone on 16-2 in their last 18 games. They lost to Minnesota. Outside of that, they've beaten every team they've played. They beat the Magic. They beat the Heat. They beat a Rocket squad, effectively ending Houston's season, by the way. And then we watched them crush the Lakers just a couple nights ago on Tuesday. So what are your thoughts on this Warriors team that's just gotten hot at the wrong time for the Pelicans?
Yeah, you know, I think it really starts with like Klay Thompson and his turnaround offensively. He had been kind of really just atrocious at the beginning of the year. They moved him to the bench. He's kind of like found new life again. Looks like the Klay Thompson of old. And that's really elevated the squad. They just need more scoring, more guys that are threats out there. And Klay Thompson doing that coming off the bench can definitely present some trouble. But New Orleans has a lot of defensive stoppers there, right? Dyson Daniels, who's been playing pretty well recently. We just talked about Najee Marshall, who can kind of handle some of that also. So being able to kind of keep him in check, I think, really can help New Orleans kind of get that win. You also have Draymond Green, which is just a bit of a wild card for them, you know, this season. You don't know what version of him you're going to get, whether he's going to get ejected or not. Trying to get him a little bit frustrated, maybe baiting him into getting thrown out of the game would be really good, and that's a realistic possibility for New Orleans. You know, you ideally want to get this win tonight against the Sacramento Kings, beat the Lakers on the final game of the regular season. You know, the Warriors game is a little bit of a toss-up, I think, especially on the second night of a back-to-back. If you lose that game and you go 2-1 of these next three, I don't know if that guarantees you the sixth seed, which is kind of the scary thing here, because you're also kind of in the battle with the Suns, but they also need to play a team like the Sacramento Kings, who at that point might kind of be battling for their own positioning. So going 2-1 is realistic here, and I think that Warriors game is the one they're most likely to lose.
I would agree 100%. So then you're looking ahead to that Lakers team at home in the Smoothie King Center. I mean, the Lakers will probably also have something to play for, just given the standings right now, Jake. Like, it is so tightly contested. The Pelicans and the Suns is one matchup. Like, the Pelicans obviously own a half-game lead on the Suns to the sixth spot, avoiding the West play-in tournament. But further down the standings, you have the Kings, who are two games back of the Pels, but they're only a half-game ahead of the Lakers, who are a half-game ahead of the Warriors. There's so much to be decided here in this final couple of games here. So I think the Lakers will have something to play for, but in that matchup, you have the Pelicans with an edge.
Yeah, I think so. You know, they're going to be at home, which I think is going to be important. They're going to get Brandon Ingram back, which is going to open some things up. And, you know, it's really going to come down to these next two games. You know, if New Orleans takes care of business, there's going to be nothing to really play for in that game, I think. The Lakers might even rest guys there, too, because New Orleans is beating teams that they're kind of competing with right now. So New Orleans controls that Lakers destiny a little bit, I think, which is kind of interesting to look at with it. But also, it's going to be LeBron James at the end of the regular season. If they do need to win a game, that's kind of scary to me. You know, if they do need to win a game to maybe get to the eighth seed or something like that, you know, that's a guy that you don't want to really bet against in any situation like that, being one of the greatest of all time. So it can be really nerve-wracking, and that's why this whole, the play-in tournament's been a lot of fun, because it means all of these games matter at the end of the regular season when they wouldn't otherwise. So it's just fun to have meaningful basketball this late in the season, I think.
For sure. You talk about matchups, you know, with teams. Hopefully this Pelicans team can lock up that sixth seed. We're all kicking back with some wine and popcorn with CJ McCollum, like he mentioned, watching the other squads take part in the play-in tournament. But if that does happen for the Pels, hold on to that sixth seed. Who are you hoping, matchup-wise, that this team ends up seeing in the first round of the postseason?
Yeah, Jake, that top three is still undecided.
Brutal.
Right now, it's Denver kind of has the inside route to the one seed, but outside of that, you're looking at Minnesota or OKC.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those three. The way I see it going is I see it being Denver, then the Minnesota Timberwolves, and then the Oklahoma City Thunder. Minnesota has the tiebreaker over both of those teams, which I think is really big there. So if they end up tied with the Oklahoma City Thunder, they're going to be in second. That's the team I'd like to see the Pelicans play. That would be a little bit better, I think, for them. They've done well against Minnesota. They really seem to have an answer for Rudy Gobert and Zion Williamson, who doesn't do well against him. So if you can, I think that's the most beatable team for them. You know, going up against Oklahoma City with Chet Holmgren, who presents a problem for the center position for New Orleans. You can't really go with JV, but you can't really go with Larry Nance Jr. either. And then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's in the MVP conversation, is probably going to finish third. You know, that's a team that does scare me. They're young. They want to prove a lot. Minnesota's never really been here before, and it feels like they could falter. And I do think New Orleans counters them better. So that's the ideal team, but I think they're going to end up playing the Thunder in the first round if they finish as the sixth seed.
We were really rooting for LA last night. I mean, they obviously picked up that win on Tuesday against the Suns. That was really nice for the Clippers, but, you know, they rest everybody. They rest basically their entire starting lineup, plus Russell Westbrook off the bench, which was really unfortunate. They kept it close with the Suns. I don't know, like, Jake, that was a tight game into the fourth quarter when the Suns finally pulled away and beat LA in Los Angeles. But now you're looking at the Suns' final two games at Sacramento, at Minnesota. You kind of mentioned, you know, we got to root for the Suns tomorrow. But we have to obviously take them down first and foremost, and then playing at Minnesota, a team that could still be in the conversation for the one seed. It's not an easy path for the Suns, but if you're a Pelicans team, you just need to take care of your own business and go 3-0 and not have to worry about the Suns dropping either of these final two games, because they really have played pretty well in this final 10-game stretch against a lot of playoff teams.
Yeah, look, you know, they control their own destiny. And as long as they do that, they're going to be in the sixth seed and you avoid the play-in tournament. And I think that's a really important thing for this team. You know, those one-game win-or-go-home situations, you never know what's going to happen. And that's pretty scary. And you might be going up against the Warriors team or LeBron James in an elimination game. That's not a great position to be in. You know, I think if they can beat the Sacramento Kings tonight, the Sacramento Kings are kind of fighting for their own playoff positioning lives, which makes them a tougher opponent for the Phoenix Suns, which is a really good position to put Phoenix in. You know, they were down 30-4 in, you know, one of the games against the Clippers and things like that. And they were losing to the Clippers until late in the fourth quarter, as you mentioned last night. You know, I don't know if I believe in that Suns team too much right now. And if you make this Sacramento Kings even more desperate, that's only going to help you. And it maybe gives you a little bit more margin for error to lose one of these final two games after you beat the Sacramento Kings. And that's why this game is so important tonight for everything.
I think the biggest thing, and we talked with Nick Friedell earlier on the show for this Pelican squad, is a fast start against Sacramento. If you can just bury this team early on and get out to like an early lead in the first half and be able to kind of give your guys some rest to get prepared for that game against the Warriors tomorrow night. At the same time, like, if it gets into the second half and then the Kings don't think that they can make a comeback, they might be resting some of their guys for this matchup tomorrow night against Phoenix, and it's a win-win for the Pelicans.
Yeah, that's why this game's so big, right? Like, there's so many kind of knock-on effects from it, I think, here, what you had mentioned, right? You've got another game tomorrow night, and if you can get a little bit of extra rest after a long road trip here, that's only really going to help you with things and let you just get a little bit of extra preparation, and that can make the difference between winning or losing, and that might be the difference between the sixth seed and the seventh seed here. And then it has a knock-on effect down in the standings and making the Kings desperate. Like, all of those things, I think, are just so important, and that's what makes the end of this season so interesting here and so intense feeling, right? And that's what makes this so much fun, that we're just playing meaningful games late in, you know, in the middle of April at this point.
100%. My last question for you here, Jake, is not Pelicans related, is NBA MVP related. I did this for our triple option earlier on in the show. Whereas you're looking at the odds, and the odds makers have Nikola Jokic as far and away the favorite. It's like minus 3,000 at this point to win the NBA MVP via betting odds, whereas Luka Doncic is like plus 1,600. I don't really understand why this isn't more of a debate. Like, if Nikola Jokic wins, I'm not going to be upset. I think that he clearly deserves it, but Luka Doncic does as well, and I feel like he's just being overlooked. The run that the Mavericks have gone on recently that has basically shot them out of the play-in tournament and clearly into the five seed, where they could even get to the four, but they have a solidified matchup against the LA Clippers for this first round. Like, they've already hit 50 wins, and people forget that last year there were only two teams in the Western Conference with 50 wins. This year there's already five. And the Dallas Mavericks are in that number. This isn't a play-in team, and if people are acting like Luka Doncic is leading a team that's in like eighth place versus where he is right now.
I mean, I think you've also got to look at it just over the course of the whole season. And if you look at it from start to finish, Jokic, I think, has been the best player, and I think he's going to end up winning. And Luka is making a nice push now, but you also have a team that's number one in the West versus number five in the West. And while the West is very competitive, and the Dallas Mavericks admittedly made a lot of moves at the trade deadline to upgrade their team, you can't just be held to kind of like recency bias, and you've got to look at it as an 82-game award. And I do think Jokic has been better overall, and I think is a better defender than Luka Doncic is too. But I think it's going to be a little bit closer than people realize. You know, when it comes to the MVP award, one of the things is a lot of people kind of make up their mind early on in the season with this. I think a lot of voters kind of make their decision in February. That's going to hurt Luka Doncic with this too, I think. I ultimately think it's Jokic. I do think there's definitely a debate about it, But I think Jokic is the best player, and I think he's going to win MVP. He was also robbed a little bit last season.
Agreed.
Because of the debate around him with the postseason, right? No one wanted to give him three straight MVPs if you hadn't won a title, because you're putting his name up there with Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, all people who won at a very, very high level and won multiple titles. And because Jokic didn't, they didn't feel comfortable kind of elevating his name to that level. Now that he's won the title, he can win as many MVPs as he wants, and no one's going to, you know, say no to that sort of thing. So I wonder if there's a little bit of that factoring into it as well.
I think it was probably, as you mentioned, a little bit of voter fatigue with Jokic, and Embiid was solid last year, don't get me wrong, but I mean, I agree that I think he was a little bit robbed last year. But at the same time, I think there's a little bit of voter fatigue with Luka. You kind of mentioned that, yes, he's come on strong late and his team's been winning late, but the numbers have always been there for Luka Doncic. He's like, he leads the league in scoring. The amount of points, rebounds, assists this guy puts up is historic combined. I mean, I just feel like he's being a little bit overlooked for this award because, I mean, the voter fatigue that I mentioned, Luka's never won it. Like, he's been so good in his career. Like, Nikola Jokic had the voter fatigue thing, winning back-to-back and not winning three straight, and that's why Joel Embiid got it. But I think that Doncic deserves at least some kind of recognition. Like, he may not win it, and as you mentioned, Jokic has been the best player all year, but I don't think it's that big of a margin.
No, like, if Luka won, it would be fine. I wouldn't really have much of an issue with that, I think. You know, I think him finishing fifth in the West and not fourth, not getting home court, is going to stand out to voters, because if you were that good, why not carry some of the team, that team earlier? And they've had more injuries than the Denver Nuggets have had, but they haven't had that many. And I think voters are going to look at that as well. You also look at Denver, and I think they have the second best offense in the league, and Jokic is kind of the crux of that. So when you compare some of the numbers, it just kind of elevates Jokic a little bit in voters' minds, I think.
Jake, always appreciate your time. Just an hour and 15 minutes till we got a tip off in Sacramento. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, y'all.
Thanks, Jake.
For all things Pelicans, make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Pelicans podcast on the Odyssey app. That's part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.